So we're getting ready for Chanukah, and just b'derech hakdama, one of the very beautiful kavanas that the Arizal has in Halakas Ner Chanukah goes on the words lahadlik ner Chanukah. The nusach api Kabbalah is to omit the word shel, which is commonly used, although it's brought down the Mishnah Berurah, I think b'shem the shla, to say the word shel. But what comes out of the teachings of the Ari is the proper nusach would be to say lahadlik ner Chanukah. And there he has the following kavana, that the Rashi Tevos of lahadlik ner Chanukah, a lamed, a nun, and then a ches, rearranged spells nachal. Nachal means like a river, I guess, would be the simple explanation. And the Ari connects this nachal to a nachal we find in other places, namely, Noitzer Chesed La'alafim, which is also Rosh Hashanah Nachal, which he says that by saying the Hadlik Ner Chanukah, we bring down a light from the Yud Gimel Midas of Rachamim, which he says connects to the 13 words in the Bracha of Hadlakas Ner Chanukah. And although he doesn't mention this explicitly, but the Svarim HaKadoshim bring out that by Ner Chanukah as well, there's a Kavanah for Nachal here, Rashi Tevos of Nafshenu Chiksa Lashem, which we're familiar with from Shachris, which is also Rashi Tevos Nachal. Either way, the Ari does mention the idea of two Nachals. There's two separate Kavanas for this Nachal. So, of course, it has its own Kabbalistic interpretation, but Lefi Dargenu, on our level, to understand what the Inyan of this Nachal is as it pertains to Chanukah and to the Parsha. Last week's Parsha, Parsha's told us, the Bnei Yisachar, always goes on explaining the Tzuras HaChodesh for each month. We know that, based on Tikkuni Zohar, that every single Chodesh of the year has its own Tzirufei Havaya, which means that the Shem Havaya can be arranged in many ways. We know it as Yud Kei Vav Kei, but it can also be arranged in many other ways. And each one of these various Tzirufim corresponds to a different Chodesh of the year. So, for example, the month of Chanukah, which is of Kislev, which is where we're holding now, the Rosh Tevos, sometimes it's Sofei Tevos, but the Rosh Tevos for this month, which comes out to be Havaya, comes from a pasuk at the end of Parshas Vayechi. It says, Vayar Yoshev Ha'aretz Haknani. So these four words, Vayar Yoshev Ha'aretz Haknani, spells the Shem Yud Kei Vav Kei, but arranged in the following sequence, Vav, then a Yud, then a Hey, then a Hey. And the Ari says this is a reference to Chodesh Kislev. So of course, this is a Pella, what the connection is here. There are many other places in Tanakh where we have this Rosh Tevos or Sofei Tevos in this arrangement. What's the connection, of course, here to the month of Kislev? So the Bnei Yisachar has a very beautiful vart where he makes the following cheshvan, and he says that, according to some shitas, the Ptir of Yaakov Avinu was on the first day of Sukkot. We know Yaakov was very connected to Sukkot. The Torah tells us, V'Yaakov Nasa Sukkosa, he was the first to go to a place called Sukkot. And according to many, the Ptira of Yaakov Avinu was on the first day of Sukkot. The Torah tells us that there was a Hesped and a Bechiah period before the Kfur of Yaakov. And ultimately, Yaakov was buried 70 days later in Maras HaMachpelah in Eretz Yisrael. And the Bnei Yisachar makes the following cheshbon. And then if you count 70 days from the first day of Sukkot, you land on the 25th day of Kislev, which is, of course, the first day of Chanukah. So he explains that when the Torah tells us, Vayar Yoshev Haaretz Haknani, at the end of Parshas Vayechi, that all the Goyim saw this unbelievable procession of Yaakov being brought to be laid to rest in Maras HaMachpelah. So here we have the reference to Chodesh Kislev, Vayar Yoshev Haaretz Haknani, and of course to Chanukah, that this was taking place in Chanukah. Turns out that although the Ptir of Yaakov Avinu was on Sukkot, the Kfur of Yaakov was on the first day of Chanukah. Let's turn our attention for a moment to the Mechir of the Bechayra in Parshas Toldos, that the Torah tells us a very interesting backdrop, that the Mechir of the Bechayra from Esav to Yaakov took place after the Ptir of Avram Avinu, the death of Avram Avinu. So when was the death of Avram Avinu? We know that Yaakov was cooking these lentils as a nechama for Yitzchak, as a Sudas Havra. So there's different shitas as well as to the Ptir of Avram Avinu. the perhaps the most well-known pshat is that Avraham Avinu, who corresponds to Pesach, that his birth and his death took place on Pesach. However, it's brought down in the Sfarim HaKadoshim that the death and the burial of Avraham Avinu took place on Rosh Chodesh Teves. And that's because we found just recently, in last week's parasha, Parshas Chayisara, that the Torah tells us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Maftiach to Avram. It's actually by the Bris Ben Abbasayim. He tells him, Tikaver b'seva toiva, that you will be buried in a ripe old age. So the Sfarim say that the Rashi Tevos here of Tikaver b'seva tova is Rashi Tevos of Teves. Teves, which is a reference to Rosh Chodesh Teves. Why Rosh Chodesh? Probably because it's Rashi Tevos, and Rashi Tevos implies the first, the Rosh. So Rosh Chodesh Teves would therefore be the day in which Avraham Avinu was laid to rest. Also probably because there's no Yontav in the month of Teves. The only Yontav in Teves would be Rosh Chodesh. And we know that the Avos HaKadoshim always had connections to the Yomim Tovim, some special day on the calendar. So be that as it may, the Kuru of Avraham Avinu is on Rosh Chodesh Teves, and we know, calendar-wise, that Rosh Chodesh Teves is actually one of the days of Chanukah. So what we have, therefore, is that the Kuru of Avraham Avinu and the Kuru of Yaakov Avinu both take place on Maras HaMachpelah, during Chanukah, that they were buried in Maras HaMachpelah on Chanukah. Perhaps you can say that this is the reason why the Yevanim chose to make Melchama against Bnei Yisrael at this time. Because the Ptira of the Avos shows that there was a weakening in the Mazel of Bnei Yisrael. Like we find that Haman was very happy when his Goyrel fell out in Chodesh Adar, because he said that's the time that Moshe Rabbeinu died. And that shows a weakening of the Mazel of Bnei Yisrael. So to hear the Kura of Avram and Yaakov means to say that they're taken out of this world and put underneath the ground shows that there was a hiskabrus of the Sitra Achra against Avram and Yaakov. That the death means that there was a loss to the Jewish people. So they thought to capitalize on that time, just like Haman did, because they saw into these mazalos and they saw weakening of the mazal of Bnei Yisrael. What they didn't know, however, is like the Rabbi Yonasan Eibshitz explains, the Gemara tells us that just like Haman didn't know that Moshe had died then, he was also born then, he explains the birth means that there's a continuation that the tzaddik has after his death. Which is why he says, the Gemara says, they knew about his death, but didn't know about his birth. I mean, that there's some type of a birth which takes place after death. And so too, you could say as well, that what the Yevanim did not know is that there was a continuation of life after death, which the Avos continued to have. They continue to be Mashkiach on Bnei Yisrael, and they're continuously involved. And Chazal say that there's not a single generation which goes by, that there's not an Avraham Yitzchak and Yaakov, which is amongst the Jewish people. And of course, Yavan doesn't know that, just like Haman didn't know that. And the Tzad HaShava is that Yavan and Haman are both connected to Esav HaRasha. And we know that in this week's Parsha, Esav says, when selling the Bechara, he says, why do I need the Bechara? He doesn't see that there's any life after death. Like the Medrash says, that as soon as Yaakov said, sell me the Bechara, miyad kofar Esav b'tchias ha-mesin. That's what the Gemara says. One of the things that he did that day was that he was kofar b'tchias ha-mesin. So you see that Esav, who was a sheiches, he's rooted, he's the roots of Haman and the Yevanim. So they didn't understand that there's this life after death, which is why, although on the surface it would seem that the Ptir of Avraham and Yaakov is a loss to the Jewish people, but as we know, Tzadikim b'misasam in their death are greater than the Arbechayim. So to hear, there's a secret that they didn't know, that there's a Hamshacha, there's a Nitzchias that Avraham and Yaakov have. But it also explains to us why it is that they wanted a Yenika and the three mitzvahs of Rosh Chodesh, Mila, and Shabbos. Rosh Chodesh, we explained, because Avram's Ptir was on Rosh Chodesh Teves. So they saw that the Ptir was on Rosh Chodesh, that they can have an Achiza on the day of Rosh Chodesh. Of course, Avram was the Machadish of the Mitzvah of Mila. That was his Mitzvah. And we know the whole Indian of Shabbos corresponds to Yaakov. The Gemara tells us that Shabbos is called Nachalas Yaakov Avicha. And of course, this Nachalas Yaakov is going to connect to the Nachal we're going to be speaking about, Psiyata Dishmai. But anyways, between the Ptir of Avram and Yaakov, we find a connection to the Yevanim trying to make an Achiza on these three Mitzvahs in particular. When it comes to the Bechaira, to the selling of the Bechaira, so, as we explained before, that the Mechir of the Bechaira took place by the Ptia of Avram, it means that the Bechaira was sold from Esav to Yaakov during the days of Chanukah. So we see that the kinyan of the Bechorah takes place on Chanukah. So we know the Gemara tells us that when Yaakov and Esav were in the room, they were fighting for the worlds of Olam Hazeh and Olam Haba. The Gemara's lashon, as Rashi brings it, is that they had a melchama of nachalas shnei olamos. That they had a melchama for the nachala of shnei olamos. That Olam Haba is called a nachala, and Olam Hazeh is called a nachala. That they had a Yerusha from Avraham and Yitzchak to be zeichet to these two nachalas. And we know a Bechorah is zeichet to Pishnayim. The fact that Yaakov bought the Bechorah from Esav teaches us that really Yaakov is now the full owner of these shnei olamos. That he is the noichel of this nachala of shnei olamos. So it comes out very nice, therefore, that being that the Bechorah was bought by Yaakov Avinu during Chanukah, which gave him the schus to own this Nachal of Shnei Olamos, it would explain to us why it is when we light near Chanukah, Yari says to be Mechavin two times Nachal, the Halak near Chanukah, which we said is Noitzer Chesel Alafim, and Nafshinu Chiksal Hashem. It's coming to be Merames on these two Nachals. A nacha which flows from above, which is called Neisach Chesed Alafim, which is a hamshacha, which comes from top to bottom, which is Olam Haba coming into Olam Hazeh, and Nafshi Nechiksel Hashem, which is Milamata Lamala, because when a person has a cheshek, Nafshi Nechiksel Hashem, it's like a ner, as we know, which is yearning to go up, which is connected Olam Hazeh to Olam Haba. So these two nachals, one connected Olam Haba, one connected Olam Hazeh, is what we're zeichet to through the halakas near Chanukah. When the Shvatim came to bury Yaakov, as we said before, that took place on Chanukah. So the Gemara tells us in Sota that Esav showed up and he made a big macha, and he said, "This is due to me. That this is my kever. This is my kvura." So the Gemara tells us a whole maisa that Naftali was sent to bring the shtar, and in the meantime, Yehuda chopped off the head of Esav. So what's going on here? How does it relate to our story? So the emes is that every single year by the halakas near Chanukah, we're a mevarer that we really deserve the Bechorah. Because what really is the essence of the light of Chanukah? The light of Chanukah is a heavenly light which comes into this world. It's a light which is Olam Haba, which comes into Olam Hazeh. This testifies and is meyer that Yaakov is the Bechor. Because we know that Yaakov and Esav may share Olam Hazeh, because even Esav, let's say, is a son of Yitzchak and deserves a chelik in Olam Hazeh, which we know he has until Imos HaMashiach. But really, Yaakov was zeichet to the Bechorah, and he was noitel pishnayim, which means that he has Olam Haba, especially Esav was koyef and Tchias HaMezim. So really, Yaakov has a share in this world and in the next world. So therefore, the fact that you can bring down a light of Ner Chanukah, which is a light of an Olam Habadik, a light, into Olam Hazeh, that there's this merging of the Nachala, that shows, and it's made when you light Ner Chanukah, that this is not just some light which you're lighting in this world, it's a heavenly light. It's made on the fact that Yaakov really owns the Bechorah. And although the Goyim, they light their lights at the Pesach HaBayis as well with their Xmas lights, as if to say, we also have the Bechorah, as if that's the Esav who's coming to be Ma'arer, Mashiach will come and be Ma'arer, that the real Bechorah belongs to the Jewish people. Be it as it may, the fact that we light Neres Chanukah at the Pesach HaBayis is coming to represent the Ma'isa which happened in those days when bearing Yaakov Avinu Ma'isa Machpela. Because we know that the Pesach HaBayis is the place where the Satan stands. The Torah tells us in Parshas Bereishis, La Pesach Chatas Roivetz, that the Chatas, which is the Satan, he stands at the Pesach of every Davar Shavik Dusha. So since the Satan stands at the Pesach, so we light the Ner Chanukah at the Pesach to drive away any kitrug of the Sitra Achra. So as they opened up the Pesach to be Kaver Yaakov on Chanukah, right, they opened up a Pesach to Kedusha. So right as they open up that Pesach on the ground, so comes Esav and he makes an error. Then he says, the Bechorah belongs to me. So comes along who? Comes along Yehuda and he chops off his head. Why Yehuda? Because the Arizal tells us that every single Yontif corresponds to a sphere. And there are many spheres. For example, Pesach corresponds to Chesed, and Shavuos corresponds to Gvura, and Sukkos is Tiferes, and Purim is Netzach. So the Ari says that the sphere which corresponds to Chanukah is the sphere of Hod, which is the Inyan of Hoidah, which is the Hoidah Salahala, which takes place on Chanukah. So therefore, the fact that Yehuda is the one who comes and chops off the head of Esav to end his kitrug against the Kinyan on the Bechorah here, which Yaakov bought from Esav many years ago, right? This is the anniversary of the Mechira, of that kinyan of the Bechira, which took place on Chanukah, is reliving itself now as they're coming to bury Yaakov on Chanukah. It's mamish, the days are connected one to the other. So comes Yehuda, who represents this Midah of Hod, which is the Hadlakas Ner Chanukah, that the Haidah which we give with the Hadlakas Ner Chanukah is the act of Yehuda coming along and chopping off, so to speak, the head of Esav, who stands at the Pesach of every Davar Shebekdusha to be Ma'ar on the Bechir. What's interesting is that when we speak about Machlekes in between brothers, so as we, this of course is the Machlekes between Yaakov and Esav, the very first Machlekes between brothers took place between Cain and Hevel. That we know that Cain really corresponds to Esav, and Yaakov corresponds to Hevel. And in those days, in that Kufa, the Torah tells us that they were fighting over the Bechira. Chazal tell us that they were fighting over who's going to take the Nachla Shnei Olamos. So the fact that Cain took Hevel, killed Hevel, showed that Esav got the better of Yaakov. But here there's a tikkun of that, that Yaakov comes back and he takes the Bechira from Esav, comes to show that really the Bechira belongs to Yaakov, which is Hevel, after all. If you take a look in the Medrash, in Parshas Bereishis, the Medrash tells us two days as to perhaps when the whole Ma'is of Cain and Hevel took place. According to one sheet, that took place on Shavuos. According to another man, the Amar took place on Chanukah. So it's very nice that the very first Machlekes of the Bechira took place on Chanukah, and that was Nesgalgal to the Mechir of the Bechira between Yaakov and Esav, all the way down to the Petir of Yaakov Inu and his Kfir Ma'is of Machpelah, which also took place on Chanukah. We'll just leave off with this note, that another day and who may have killed Esav, the Gemara tells us that it was on the hands of Chushim ben Dan. Chushim ben Dan. Chushim, who was the son of Dan, we know that he was a deaf mute. And it came from a very unexpected place that he was able to chop off the head of Esav. He wasn't expecting it from Chushim. Which is, of course, a remnant of what the Gemara says, that there are three things which come behesach hadas. One of those things is Mashiach. Mashiach comes behesach hadas. So the idea that Yehuda chopped off the head of Esav, and there's the idea that Chushim chops off the head of Esav, but really it's Eilu ve'Eilu Devar Elokim Chayim. Because Yehuda represents the Chanukah Licht, that is the Ner Chanukah, which is able to be Mekayim Asin Galus, which chops off the head of Esav every single year who stands at the Pesach HaBayis. But there's also going to be a Kim of that other Girsa, which is going to be Chushim Ben Dan. Because Chushim is Osios Mashiach. And it's our generation that we're like Chushim, that although we don't have the madrigas of previous generations, to them we're like blind, we're like deaf, we have no madrigas whatsoever, we have no Ruach HaKodesh, we have no Nevuah, we have nothing at all. So we're like Chushim, but it's good for that Chushim, which is the Osios Mashiach, which will ultimately chop off the head of Esav. And that's called Chushim Ben Dan. Because although the previous Geulas were done Berachamim, the final Geula will be Midas Hadin. And when it's done by Midas Hadin, it will be Nitzchi. So we're looking to see that final chopping off of the head of Esav, which is Ayidei Chushim Ben Dan. But like we've done Ben Dan, which will be Al Pidin, it will happen. Which was Echad to see that in the source of Neir Chanukah, B'Bias Koyal Tzedek, M'Ev Aminu Amen.